This really is a good chapter, the whole chapter, but the verses that I had in mind is verse 11 and 12. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as a roaring, is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. This verse 11, there's a lot in this verse. And we get in these confrontational modes sometimes, and we want to have the last word. And we want to make sure that our words sting and do some emotional harm. And that's not what this verse here is talking about here. It says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. We stop and think a little bit. We can make a better decision about the words we use and how they're used. There's a verse in, I think it's in Philippians. It says, have your speech seasoned as it were with salt. And there's a, there's the right words and the right time for the words. And usually in the heat of the moment is generally not the right time for angry words that are going to escalate the problem. Another thought on that is when there's tension and emotion in a disagreement, it's always better to defer the conversation. And it's not running away from a problem. Now, we could use it as running away from a problem, and that we shouldn't be doing either. But there are times when it's better, as the old phrase says, let the sleeping dog lie, instead of jerking the chain and getting the dog wound up. And the second half of that verse, and it is his glory, it is man's glory to pass over a transgression. If somebody has transgressed against us, it's a glory to us not make a big deal out of it. I find myself, I used this quote earlier this week on the retreat with the young people. I'll use it today, but I want to make sure everybody understands where I got it. I got it from Bill Ames about 40 years ago. And he made a comment that I thought was very profound. And that is, we can choose to make an offense, and we can choose to take an offense. And we can choose not to take an offense, and we can choose not to make an offense. And that's discretion. That's using a sound mind and sound decisions. You know, it's pride that tells us I need to win this argument. And it's pride that tells us that I have to avenge myself when I'm offended. Because we don't have to. We can choose not to. We have that ability to make that choice. And here, Solomon says here, it's your glory to overlook a transgression. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. I'll read a few verses here, starting with verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught the word communicate unto him that teacheth it in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. So here we have a brother caught in a fault. And the exhortation here is to examine ourselves, to go to him, and to help him. Help him bear his burden. We're to go to him in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we be tempted. As I was, the Father loved me, we sing. And sometimes I think we think a little bit more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We think we're lovable. And we're not always lovable. And sometimes we're called to love our brothers and sisters when they're not lovable. When they've got some blemishes, and it's apparent, and it's out there. We are to help bear one another's burdens, but we also have the responsibility to bear our burdens. And one of the things that, and one of the ways we can bear our burdens is by using that discretion when the issues get hot and decide that it's better to defer. It's better that we settle down emotionally before we continue the discussion. And that's our responsibility, because we know that we get defensive, and we want to posture in a way to help drive our point across. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if we're going to sow contention, that's exactly what we're going to reap. And if we're going to sow a hot temper, we're going to get the proper response to it. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Sowing to the flesh is me doing whatever I feel like at the moment. That's sowing to the flesh. You know, I know when I was younger, there's probably more tempted to believe it then, but the phrase is still out there. There's this follow your passion. And that, there's two sides to that, and we need to be careful. And not every impulse of my heart is a good one. We're warned about that in Scripture. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above everything else, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sometimes we can't even recognize it in ourselves. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So our responsibility is to everybody. And especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we've been made righteous in Christ, we've been made perfect in Him, but we're not perfect in ourselves. And we're not righteous in ourselves. And neither is anybody else that we rub into in this world. A couple more verses in Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 4. We'll start with verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on a breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet and a hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Therefore comfort one another together and edify one another, even as ye do. He's telling us here to be... He's actually talking about the coming of the day of the Lord, and he's telling us here to be wise about how we behave in regards to that. But this is good advice on just our daily walk. And we're to comfort ourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And he gives us some more advice here. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And these are things that we need to be intentional about. And I have not been intentional about rejoicing, not been intentional about prayer, unless there's some real driving force. And that's not the way we're to be. And in everything, give thanks. We have so much to be thankful for. And when you give, when you're thankful, it just raises your spirit. You don't have to have more than everybody else or be smarter than everybody else or have an easier life than everybody else in order to be thankful. There is so much more to be thankful for than any of that. And honestly, if you've got all the brains and the money and the toys and the time and the whatever else you think you need, and you haven't been thankful, you're not going to be happy with it anyway. Thankfulness is something that God wants us to be thankful. He doesn't want us to mope around thinking, poor me. We've all got much more than we need. Anyway, just a few thoughts. Let's look to the Lord here. Our Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the gift of life that we have through your Son. We just thank you for who he is and what he did for us on the cross. We just thank you that he accepted us as we were, as we came. We had nothing to offer. And help us to be able to accept our brothers and sisters in that same way. And again, we lift those up at camp, and we just pray for them, and we just pray for the work that's going on in so many ways in this assembly and in the neighborhood here, and we just pray for your blessing that the Lord Jesus would be glorified in everything that's done and said here. And we just ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen.